Hi guys, Annie Corrigan here. We've had an exciting 2 years at Earth Eats. Who knew this little podcast about real food and green living from Bloomington, Indiana would become an online destination for foodies worldwide? We really love being part of this vibrant, active food community that recently broke 15,000 Twitter followers and 6,000 Facebook friends. And the Earth Eats team has grown from a few part-timers to a group of 20 dedicated staffers, interns, and volunteers. Now, we need your help to keep Earth Eats sustainable. The podcast and website are free, but just like quality food, quality information costs money. Your financial support can help. Visit our website now through Valentine's Day to make your financial contribution, eartheats.org. Oh, and with your pledge of $100, you can pick up a copy of Chef Daniel Orr's Farm Food Cookbook that includes many of the recipes we cook in the podcast. A perfect Valentine's Day gift for the foodie in your life. So help support real food and green living for another 2 years and beyond. Make your pledge at eartheats.org today. And thanks. Welcome to Earth Eats, a show of real food and green living. I'm Annie Corrigan.
And I'm Chef Daniel Orr.
Who needs a fancy night out to celebrate Valentine's Day? We've got some ideas for how to make your own sweet treats for your sweetie. The persimmon panna cotta is an Indiana take on a traditional Italian dessert, and the ginger poached pear is a clever way to get one more serving of fruit in for the day. But first, here's Sarah Kaiser with a look at this week's news.
Feel free to back off on the antioxidant-studded granola bars. Antioxidants may not be the food superhero we've thought them to be. Several recent studies are poking holes in theories that antioxidizing compounds like vitamin C and E and beta-carotene can help the body fight disease by breaking up potentially harmful reactions started by free radicals. One particular study showed that people taking antioxidant supplements showed no change in their symptoms in a range of diseases or showed, quote, increased mortality. That's something to keep in mind as you peruse the 100 new antioxidant-enhanced products found on shelves as of 2009. Eating like a Greek, on the other hand, might be good for your brain. According to a new study, the Mediterranean diet may be associated with slower rates of mental decline in the elderly. The diet includes high consumption of fruits, vegetables, breads, potatoes, beans, nuts, and seeds. And olive oil serves as an important source of monounsaturated fat. The study also says you can enjoy wine in low to moderate amounts. And apparently even posting the amount of calories, fat, and sodium in fast food items doesn't discourage folks from ordering the bad-for-you foods at fast food restaurants. A new study recorded food purchases at 7 suburban Taco Times and 7 metropolitan locations in Seattle, Washington. Contrary to their hypothesis, the researchers found no difference between purchases made at the restaurants with the calorie counts and the purchases made at the restaurants without. But really, this new study isn't that surprising. Obesity rates continue to rise even after the FDA required nutritional content be marked on prepackaged foods. You can get more news updates like this all week long by following us on Twitter and liking us on Facebook. For Earth Eats, I'm Sarah Kaiser.
We're going to start off our Valentine's Day celebration with the ginger poached pear recipe. Our pear of choice is the Bosque pear. It's especially good for poaching because they tend to be firm and crunchy and they don't ripen as quickly, so they'll hold their shape for a few days. Our chef today is Margaret Nelson. First things first, she'll be making a simple syrup, which is equal parts sugar and water.
So what I'm going to put in there with them is I've sliced up about an inch of fresh ginger. I've got a stick of cinnamon and about a tablespoon of vanilla. And you can really put anything that you want in here, star anise, cloves. Great thing about that, too, is once you use your pears up, you can use your poaching liquid again. You can use it a few times before you have to get rid of it. So that's nice, too. You can just keep it in the cooler, and it'll hold for, you know, probably a couple of weeks. So how I've done the pears is what I'm going to do is just peel them. You can take just a regular peeler. They're nice and firm, so you don't have to worry about them mushing in your hand. They can even be a little bit underripe, and that's okay, too, because we're going to cook them.
And this is where it would come in handy to have a sous chef in the kitchen.
It's actually, peeling these pears are not so bad, again, because they're so firm. You can cut it any way you like. I like to cut them in half. And then what I like to do is take a Parisian scoop or a melon baller. I like to use the big end to just scoop out that core, It gives you a really nice, pretty look.
Look at how handy that is.
That's
and it's
right.
perfectly circular.
Yeah, it makes it look very fancy, and it's really simple to do. So what we'll do is when this comes to a boil, we'll put our pears in there, and then, we just let them simmer, and then we'll use our knife when they're in there to just kind of poke, see when they're nice and tender on the outside, but still kind of firm on the inside, and then we'll go ahead and let them cool down in the water, put them in the refrigerator, and you can keep them, for at least a good 3 days that way.
Now, the best part of this dish is the presentation. Chef Nelson got really creative with it.
I decided to do a pumpkin seed tuile. It gives a nice crunch to the whole dish. You've got the pear is soft, but still a little firm, but it's not, it's not real crunchy. And then the sweet whipped goat cheese is nice and creamy, a little.
That's goat cheese?
It is. It's Capriole goat cheese. What I did was I whipped it with some lemon zest, pouring in some heavy cream just a little bit at a time, and then finishing it with a little bit of confectioner's sugar. And then the pomegranate syrup, again, this is a great time for pomegranates. A little sweet, but not too sweet. I like to keep, you don't want it overpowering.
Not only is this tasty, it's gorgeous. Check out the photos on the website and read about how to make the pear and the tuile, eartheats.org. Both of our recipes are fruit-based and delicious, but the true food star of Valentine's Day is definitely chocolate. Whether it's a response to commercial marketing or the desire to give something sweet to your sweetie, chocolatier David Fletcher says the 3 days leading up to Valentine's Day are some of the busiest of the year for his shop.
In the case, we have 7 or so different flavors. We have one of our most popular, which is the Ancho Chili and Cinnamon.
Fletcher is the owner and executive pastry chef at Blue Boy Cafe and Cakery in Bloomington, Indiana. In addition to the handmade chocolates, the store offers cakes, brownies, cookies, tarts, and beverages, all using as many local ingredients as possible.
And then we have our French-style hand-rolled truffles. Those are pure chocolate and cream, no other flavors. And lastly, hazelnut.
Fletcher is trained as a physician. But after 16 years of focusing on medicine, he decided to change careers, go to culinary school, and achieve his dream of opening his own chocolate store. The first thing you notice when you look at the case at Blue Boy is all the fantastic colors and designs on the chocolates. He achieves this by swirling colored cocoa butter into a mold and then filling it with dark chocolate. They fuse, and when you pop it out of the mold, you get a tiny edible piece of art.
But I can't tell you the number of times that people come in and they ask if they have to unwrap the chocolate or, is that something that's edible? And we have to reassure them it's really just cocoa butter, which is a product of the cocoa bean.
He's pushing his customers' boundaries with the flavors he's creating, too. His goat cheese truffle uses cheese from Capriole Farms.
I would say the first 3 times I made it, actually, it was very, very popular. And the fourth time, we had a hard time actually getting people to try it. And so I haven't had it for maybe a year, actually. It will definitely come back this spring, though.
Fletcher is acutely aware of the finicky aspects of working with chocolate. There are certain temperatures it can't exceed. You have to stir it at a certain rate and cool it down properly. And just like fresh produce, high-quality chocolate doesn't last forever. It needs to be eaten within at least 2 weeks.
And after that, it can go bad. A banana will mold or a nice cup of raspberries, it will mold. The chocolate without preservatives will also mold. And so I think there was this learning curve for us and for our customers in recognizing this was meant to be a fresh product. And that's very different than the chocolates you find in grocery stores. They're preserved in some fashion.
Part of that, he adds, always involves some sugar, which is why his chocolates aren't as sweet as the commercial kinds. They are also more expensive because of all the cocoa butter he uses in them, something that gives his chocolates that melt-in-your-mouth effect.
The staff aren't allowed to pick up the chocolate and hold on to it for more than just a matter of seconds because it will begin to melt with body temperature. And so that's also very different than a commercially produced chocolate. It has to survive in the truck. It has to survive in the shelf and, in whatever facility it's sitting there.
Read more about David Fletcher and his Blue Boy Chocolate Cafe and Cakery on our website, eartheats.org. Fletcher was one of 8 local chefs who brought some of his sweet treats to the annual Bloomington, Indiana event, The Art of Chocolate. The edible art was sampled by visitors who also viewed a juried art show featuring a number of local visual artists. One table was busy all night, the one manned by mixologist Janelle Lenford.
We're making a Godiva chocolate martinis. So. I know. I think everybody figured that one out early.
So walk me through what's in this drink.
So basically we start off with the Smirnoff vanilla vodka. And then we have the Godiva, the regular chocolate, and then the Godiva, the white chocolate. And then we use this cream de coco. And so we mix it all together and serve it up in a martini glass with little swirls of chocolate. Yeah, it's pretty nice. Why eat dessert when you can drink dessert?
You guys should try one, too, if you like.
I mean, if you insist. Do you consider yourself an artist?
Well, you know, if the product turns out, then yes, I am an artist. Yeah.
Yeah. Cheers.
Cheers.
Check out photos of all the food and the fun at the Art of Chocolate, eartheats.org. Back to the kitchen for a sweet treat with some Indiana flair.
So what we're going to do today is make a persimmon panna cotta, and it's a classic Italian custard or pudding. We're going to take our persimmon puree and add that to our heavy cream in a pot on the stove. We're going to add the sugar to that.
Cream and sugar. You can't go wrong with that.
You can't go wrong. It makes a very nice creamy dessert, but it still tastes really light. So I'm going to add some seasoning to it. We got a pinch of salt and pepper, some cinnamon, and some of Chef's own sweet seasons. And that we're just going to let come to a boil. And in the meantime, I'm going to take my gelatin that I have, and I'm going to bloom it in some water. And blooming, what that means is it just absorbs the water, and it makes it easier to dissolve. You let it sit about 5 minutes, and then we're going to actually warm it up a little bit, so that way it dissolves all the way, and then we'll add it to our heavy cream and persimmon mixture.
And you weren't joking about this gelatin. It
just
sucked up that water.
That's right.
So do you cook with persimmon a lot?
In the fall and the winter, because the fruit ripens in the fall, and then we've gone ahead and carried it over to our winter menu. In the fall dessert menu, we had like kind of a classic persimmon pudding. I've done a bread pudding with it. You know, you kind of add it to your milk and egg base. It's just a really wonderful flavor, I think.
So we're bubbling a little bit. Like, how much of a boil are we looking for?
I usually like to make sure it's really nice and hot. That helps the gelatin dissolve better in it once we get that dissolved. You want to really incorporate it. If you don't get your gelatin incorporated enough in your mixture, especially if it's too hot or if it takes too long to cool down, sometimes it can separate. I usually like to make sure there are lots of bubbles around the edge, like kind of moving in the center, and then I can turn it off. And we'll strain this to get a little bit of the bigger chunks of pulp out, just so it makes a creamier dessert. So I'm just going to put it in our china cap.
I got to say, those chunks look delicious, though. I'm surprised that we're taking them out.
With the panna cotta, it's nice to have it smooth. So there's still some persimmon chunks in it. It's just so that it's not quite so like grainy when you bite into it. We're going to take our warm gelatin. We're just going to whisk it into our base.
Constantly moving,
that's
moving,
right.
Moving. It smells amazing.
Yeah, isn't it smelling really good? So this is sort of a silly trick that I like to use, but it makes pouring a lot easier. I've got a used plastic container, and the great thing about it is it's bendy. So when you pour into a smaller container, you don't drip as much. Helps with spills. And we're just going to pour it right into our cups. And then these will go right into the cooler, and we'll be done.
Top this off with an apple and walnut salad with honey lemon sauce. Absolutely delicious. You heard Chef Nelson talk about the Sweet Seasons. That's a special spice blend that we use often in desserts on Earth Eats. Never fear, the recipe for that mixture is on our website, too. And as always, print off all of these recipes and write comments to let us know how you liked them or what you thought of this podcast. Your own foodie paradise is just a click away at eartheats.org.
Support for Earth Eats comes from Blooming Foods Market and Deli. Information at bloomingfoods.coop.
Production support also comes from goodsforcooks.com. Online at goodsforcooks.com.
Earth Eats is a production of WFIU Public Media. Thanks for listening. I'm Chef Daniel Orr.
And I'm Annie Corrigan. See you next time.